And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
I'm Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is Joel Skousen. Hey, good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Stan. It's good to be with you.
And what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, the top story in today's World Affairs Brief is going to be about Eastern Europe. Kind of got a lull in the news. There's a couple of breaking items, coming up. One of them, Russian... person who's supposedly involved with the nuclear or the Russian military, a consultant claims that the Russians say that the nuclear tests by the North Koreans were plutonium-based. And if that's true, or the latest test, if that's true, that can only mean that the Russians or Chinese are supplying the plutonium to North Korea. They don't have the ability to do that independently. And I have always claimed that North Korea is a puppet of both Russia and China, and that they don't have to develop their own indigenous nuclear technology. They long got it from them, just like they got it from us.
I'm sure. That's absolutely
it's
true.
It's a more incestuous relationship in the nuclear community than people think.
I agree with you.
In terms of Europe, ever since the phony fall of communism, the countries in Eastern Europe have been mostly dominated by former communists who are playing as if they switched to the good side. They didn't, and for the most part, they're still taking part of orders from Moscow, keeping up the deception and penetrating NATO on behalf of Russia, but preparing to rejoin a new and stronger Soviet Union at the right time. Some of the countries, however, are run by globalists who are working for a larger EU and more reduced national sovereignty for their own people. The only people not allowed to get elected in Europe are true nationalists, not beholden to either side. Even when one of these independent nationalists gets in, usually met with an untimely plane crash or other accidental death, such as happened to the Polish president in the past few years. I have a correspondent there in Europe who sent me informal reports, which I'll use in conjunction with other background sources to give listeners an overview of what's gone on since the phony fall and how the deception is playing out currently. Corruption has always been endemic to the Soviet bloc system. The notion of poor, humble servants and the dictatorship of the proletariat leading people has always been a fraud. In reality, the nomenklatura, a Russian word for the elite, lived in luxury and had all the perks of the hated rich despised among capitalists. My source writes about how attempts to clean up the corruption in the post-Soviet world would always have been blocked. He said, we've had some good corruption arrests over in the Czech Republic, and the police had really been exposing and nailing people in the government and their cronies. But alas, Peter Letzi, the president of the police here, was fired after a year and a half in office by a bureaucrat on trumped up and at the very least weak charges that he had passed sensitive info to the press. Surely it was an order to stop scrutiny. Well, I can certainly agree with that. You know, you don't dump a national police chief over so-called passing information to the press, it probably needed to be passed. It was probably about the corruption in the government. And, of course, that kind of crackdown sends a message to other would-be reformers. Now it is business as usual. The Czech Republic, Stan, is a prime example of both political corruption and post-Soviet influence. So-called Velvet Revolution, the first of many of the so-called color revolutions that have taken place since, supposedly brought down the communists without a struggle. And Václav Havel, a playwright who had a reputation as a dissident, was elected president. He has been lauded all over the world, including the United States, but his legacy was severely tainted when one of his old dissident friends from the past unearthed a long list of communists inside the current Czech government who were feigning reform and held positions, as I said, in the current government. Although Havel wasn't on that particular list, he still protected his former communist colleagues and fought against the release of their names. And all of this information comes from Peter Chabuvka, who was a Czech dissident at the same time of Václav Havel. He's now dead. But I posted an interview that he had with Jan Malina, another Czech dissident, who talks about how Peter Chabuvka came up with the list and who had tenured in government. Chabuvka says in the beginning of the interview, after the so-called Velvet Revolution, the revolution that supposedly overthrew communism in November 1989, I asked many times for justice and punishment of the communist cadres in power at the time. In other words, he wanted, as most anti-communists wanted, who had lived through the communist regimes, they wanted the people who had killed their friends, and put them in prison, and tortured them to be brought to justice. He continues, that would have meant a recall from power of all the communists in government in a true free trial or public trial for their crimes against innocent people. He said, I was unpleasantly surprised when I discovered the Václav Havel and the Civic Forum, Havel's political organization, were against my efforts. That was a real shock to me, and I refused to go along with it. I organized massive protests against the leadership of the country in the second largest city, Brno, where I lived at the time. After that, I found the Civic Forum stands even more against me and against those who were fighting the communist dictatorship. Civic Forum, under the leadership of Václav Havel, became a great protector of the communist criminals and cadres that remained in power. He also said that since 1990, he tried to publish Uncensored News, that's the name of his publication, under the auspices of the anti-communist wing of Civic Forum. But in response, the wing, the anti-communist wing, was totally dismantled, liquidated, and defeated by Civic Forum and Václav Havel. So this doesn't really sound like a true dissident. This sounds like somebody who's acting the role of a dissident, that is, Václav Havel, the president, and protecting his cronies at the same time. Chabuvka continues, but shortly after that, I was contacted by some people from Prague who invited me to begin publishing a true conservative newspaper, and Václav Havel's Velvet regime shut down this newspaper as well. He said, our newspaper debunked many lies widely believed about the November Revolution of 1989 and the fact that it was not an anti-communist revolution at all. It was a privatization coup organized by the reform wing of the Russian KGB. It was accomplished in order to install the self-invited new administration and turn them into the country's ruler and lawful owners. And that was achieved in full measure by the communists, the Secret Service, and the KGB structures under the leadership of Václav Havel.
Well, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
At Ram, we only build trucks. That's why there's only one true truck month. So it's no surprise that the new Ram 1500 has been named the 2013 Motor Trend Truck of the Year. and the 2013 North American Truck of the Year. It features an available Torque Flight 8-speed transmission that achieves best-in-class 25 mpg highway and a 100,000-mile 5-year powertrain warranty. Come see the new Ram 1500 at the only true truck month, Ram. Trade in your vehicle and get $7,700 in total values on Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 equipped with a Hemi V8 engine. Standard pickup class, EPA estimated V6 4x2. See dealer for details and a copy of limited warranty. Values include $4,500 total cash allowances and $3,200 Bighorn package discount. Package values based on combined value of individual package items. Trade-in vehicle must be registered to qualified buyer for at least 30 days. Residency restrictions apply. Offer ends 3-4. Ram and Hemi are registered trademarks of Chrysler Group LLC.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. And, of course, if you remember, Vaclav Havel, the president of Czechoslovakia, always got such good media coverage here in America, which means, of course, that he was a bad guy. You must understand the media in America is controlled. And when they're constantly telling us somebody is a great patriot and fighting communism, you can be sure he's probably an undercover communist agent, simply playing a part, and that's what it was all about. But, of course, the American people are among the most deceived and uneducated people in the world, simply because of the control of the American media. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, thank you, Stan. We are talking about Czechoslovakia as a prime example of how the communists continue to control Eastern Europe through people claiming to be reformed communists. And Peter Cibulka, the source on most of this, is giving an example of how, he claims basically that the revolution there to bring in privatization was the purpose of that. And it really wasn't. He didn't understand that the author of New Lives for Old, Anatoly, what's that last name, Stan?
Golitsyn?
Yeah, Golitsyn, that's correct. Had said that this was, in fact, the Soviet Union feigning its own death and demise. But in the process, it is true that they did privatize and make themselves rich. This is what the Russians did during the phony fall in Moscow in 1989 in order to keep all control and wealth. All the top communist leaders and the leaders behind the scenes received huge loans from the Soviet state bank that enabled them to buy up all the oil concessions, industrial plants, and utility powerhouses, and they called this privatization. That's how the Russian oligarchs, as they're called, were born, from their position of power as former communists. Cibulka was responsible for unleashing the list of 160,000 officers and collaborators of the communist secret police. And this is a very small country, Stan. So when you release a list of 160,000 collaborators in government in less than 20 or 25 million people, this is a big portion of the available officers, and it meant that most of them were former officers and communists that were still in government after the so-called fall of the Soviet Union and the fall of communism in Czechoslovakia. And so Jan Malina asked him in this interview how much interest was there from the government and also from the public to publish these communist dossiers. Were there any obstacles put up by the state to block publication? Chibulka says the public was, from the very first day, interested in full disclosure and publication of all communist secrets, including those of the Soviet occupation government. Unfortunately, all the people in power, and that means Vaclav Havel and all the others, and then he lists Vaclav Klaus, Miloš Zeman, Dean Speyer, and Pithart. These are the people who, well, Vaclav Klaus succeeded Havel as president, and then Miloš Zeman has succeeded Klaus right now. So all of these people, including Havel, opposed and were very strongly against revealing these names. And in fact, they passed an emergency bill giving all the communists immunity for all of their sins during the Soviet occupation. The same thing happened in Germany. After the fall, the Western government exonerated all of the East Germans. In fact, punishment, as I say, was blocked in all of these countries. And this is unlike when you're really having a repentance system where people are stepping down and saying, we were wrong as communists, they should be willing to take their punishment, but they were not. Then he commented on Vaclav Havel's background. He said Havel's family used to be one of the richest families in Prague. They worked very hard and reliably for the Gestapo in World War II. In 1945, after the defeat of the Nazis, Havel's family was not charged with collaborating with the Nazis, and almost immediately, it is believed, they began cooperating with Soviet military intelligence and also the KGB, and were therefore protected under the communist regime, and they continued to prosper. Vaclav Havel himself signed up with the communist secret service and was regarded as a totally reliable cadre. To this day, the Communist Party and secret police do not regret their decision to recruit Vaclav Havel. So there he states it directly that Havel was an agent for the Communist Party while he was, all the while he was planning to be a dissident. Now, the reason for Havel's actions and can only be explained that he himself was on a much more secret list of communist collaborators and that he was protecting his compatriots. More importantly, during the Clinton administration, it came to light that Czechoslovakia, under Havel, had kept secret the fact that Russia still had hundreds of medium-range missiles in underground tunnels, as well as Bulgaria, missiles that were supposed to have been removed under the Intermediate Missile Treaty Disarmament Act, which they signed before the fall with the Reagan administration. We pulled out our Pershing missiles. Now we find out they kept their missiles in tunnels that Havel covered for them. Havel never told the West, and Clinton never made it an issue and continued to promote the facade of Russian cooperation on disarmament. What's going on here? Who's really working for who? Succeeding Havel was Vaclav Klaus, a Margaret Thatcher-type reformer who instituted many semi-free market reforms. Freeing up the economy always seems to convince conservatives that a politician is on the West side and anti-communist. But it isn't necessarily true. The communists themselves, as in China today, have a lot of motivation to deceive the West and take advantage of limited free market reforms to gain financial strength while rebuilding militarily for a strike against the West. That's exactly what's happening. If Klaus was such an anti-communist, then why did the communists in Parliament support him in the election of 2003? Still, Klaus plays a good game and was ever the public champion of Czech sovereignty over EU dominance, and thus making him a Eurosceptic. He even challenged the reigning dogma of man-made climate change, which endeared him to conservatives. He also imposed draconian resisted imposing environmental regulations that would drive businesses out of the Republic. But none of these correct positions means that Klaus was still working wasn't working both sides. The political masters in the East are much more adept at the Hegelian dialectic of taking both sides in a conflict than in the U.S. Here, the powers that be tend to elect predictable puppets like George Bush and Barack Obama to do their will. Now, the current leader in Czechoslovakia is Miloš Zeman, another comrade of Klaus and Havel. As my contact in Prague said, during the recent election, all the candidates were flawed. He said there are billboards here pointing out that Jan Fischer was a card-carrying communist right up to the change in 89. He claims to be repentant, but he's a shifty-looking sneak in my book and an apparat. Apparatchik, which is Russian for yes man or insider. Milos Zeman, former communist too, is a colorful figure, but his campaign is being financed in large part by Russian interests. So here we have the current president, campaign financed by the Russians, money coming across the border. So as he says, Russia has both sides covered, as Fischer and Zeman are the leading candidates. Now, Zeman won. He had joined the Communist Party in 68 when Antony Dubček was reforming the system called socialism of the face. That resulted in Russian invasion. Back in the day, if you wanted a good job or attended university, it mattered. You had to be a communist member of the party. And so he says it's somewhat naive to say that everybody who joined was necessarily a dedicated communist. So the jury's kind of still out on Zeman. We can't really be sure if he's still a communist playing along with the West or if he crossed over to the global side and is an EU booster. He was part of the group fingered by Chibulka that tried to keep the list of the communists from being published, so I'm suspicious. Well, there's a lot of propaganda in the mainstream media in Eastern Europe promoting the European Union. But it's interesting that as the austerity things have taken hold, just as in Russia, free market reforms and free market economics are getting increasingly unpopular. Everyone here, my source says, is rethinking the adjustments in the socialist free state-funded college system. Hungary is saying now to students, you can no longer pay for your education if you're leaving to go abroad after graduation. Like the military, if you want to go to school and gain a new qualification, you have to have at least 18 months left on your enlistment to be able to attend the school. They're saying, Hungary, if we're paying for it, you've got to do a couple of years here at home immediately after graduation. And the students are incensed, showing that once you get used to socialist freebies, which aren't really free, that it's almost impossible for people to give them up. So there's going to be a big national demonstration in various countries about austerity coming up. They're really resisting these. And a lot of these problems are caused by EU regulations. For example, Czechoslovakia used to be the largest sugar-producing region in Europe with sugar beets. And sugar used to be very, very cheap. But due to the EU regs and the curtailment on production, they can't produce as much sugar, and they have to have all these regs. So lots of the beet farms and processing facilities have been forced to close. Now our sugar prices, he says, are quite close to European and higher. The U.S. is a curse on sovereignty, and globalization has proven to be just a ruse for stripping nations of their assets. Another source, Anna Maria Cerna, formerly of Romania, says that communism was never defeated in her country nor any of the former Soviet states. Poland was governed by a succession of secret communists masquerading as dissenters, the most famous of which was Lech Walesa of Solidarity. It's common knowledge, at least in Poland, that Walesa was working for the communists and controlling the labor movement in the name of dissent. Well, there's always political strongmen in every jurisdiction, even local counties in the U.S., and they seem to group together into a type of good old boys network to control things. Irritating and corrupt as these good old boy networks are, they are nothing compared to the danger of communists who systematically put together a system that is ruthless, and they have a hierarchy going back to Moscow to back them up. My claim is that hierarchy is still alive, Stan. It's still going to threaten the world. And although I'm very much opposed to the globalist interventions around the world in the name of democracy, there's a real war coming up in the future we need to be concerned about. And that is the Third World War by Russia and China and North Korea. The figures so prominent in the news will be the trigger event, I believe. I do not believe that all the saber rattling and threats by North Korea mean that they're going to do something stupid and start World War III right now because Russia and China aren't ready. And their little puppet is controlled. It's very useful to build up an image of North Korea as this rabid dog. So that's very believable when they do start the war. Yeah, we warned you about North Korea. They were a problem. But it isn't imminent, in my opinion. Any comments?
No, I fear you're right. I feel if the Third World War is coming, it's just a matter of when.
Well, meanwhile, our government on the home front continues to evade the truth about domestic surveillance. I'm posting a link in today's World Affairs Brief about Senator Ron Wyden grilling former military general officer Robert Clapper, or James Clapper, and FBI Director Robert Miller, debating questions about domestic surveillance of American citizens. It's very clear from the answers that they know that it's illegal for them to surveil domestically. The CIA and the NSA only have jurisdiction on foreign things, and they, the Echelon system, which surveils all foreign communications. But those satellites can't stop American communications from coming into those satellites. I don't even ever think they ever intended to. When Wyden confronts Clapper directly about, you know, whether or not you keep any information on Americans, which is an inference of do you surveil information, you know, he said no, except perhaps unwittingly. And he was lying. He may not call them formal dossiers, because that's how Wyden started out. There was a claim that they keep dossiers on America, and he can claim maybe that they aren't formal dossiers, but they do keep electronic files on every potential dissident in America, and they do record and keep all electronic surveillance of phone cons and emails. So it can be filtered later or currently and built into files later on. While Wyden was strong in pushing for a response from Clapper,
That thought. We'll be back in a moment with Joel Skelton.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
It's time to fight fire with steel. To advance truck technology with the available Pentastar V6 and 8-speed transmission. The 2013 Ram 1500 with best-in-class fuel economy. Backed by a 5-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Engineered to move heaven and earth. Guts. Glory. Ram.
Turns out Ram 1500 is capable of moving a lot more than just heavy cargo. That's because it moved the automotive press so much that it was named Motor Trend's 2013 Truck of the Year. Ram 1500. It's not just dependable. It's exceptional. Standard pickup class excludes hybrids. EPA estimated 17 city, 20 combined, 25 highway MPG based on V6 4x2. See dealer for a copy of Powertrain Limited Warranty and details. Ram is a registered trademark of Chrysler Group, LLC.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. Revolution NMR LLC reminds listeners to honor our military members. Without their courage, we would be unable to enjoy the freedoms granted to us in the Constitution. Let's salute those who have given their lives in the line of duty, as well as those who serve today. Show your appreciation by sending a care package to our troops. Contact your local veterans organization for more information. This reminder has been from Revolution NMR LLC in Fort Collins, creator of Scientific Instruments.
Jim Network, and our guest is Joel Skelos. And Joel is certainly talking about the very real danger of World War III, that China and Russia are preparing for it, that certainly North Korea is simply a puppet, and everything you see and all this wrangling and all this threatening about attacking America with nuclear weapons and attacking South Korea with nuclear weapons is just all certainly stage managed for a distraction for the American people. But, of course, we're doing everything we can, unfortunately, to build up the Soviet Union and to build up the Chinese communists, just as we did before the Second World War, to build up certainly the Nazis in preparation for World War II, as we did all during the Vietnam War when we provided certainly technology and certainly funding to the Soviet Union that funded the North Vietnamese, that funded the South Vietnamese, or Viet Cong, I should say, that were killing our boys. And I fear the same thing is going to happen again. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, thank you. We're talking about, the democratic-controlled opposition seems to be the only one protecting our liberties against government surveillance, but they never go far enough to actually stop the government or bring them up. As I was saying, while Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon, my home state, was strong in pushing for a response from Clapper, his questioning was strangely narrow, and he failed to bring up whistleblower testimony as a counter to Clapper's denials. He could have said, how can your claim of unwitting surveillance of Americans be true when the NSA has built in equipment in every major ISP to record emails? How can you claim to not be recording American phone conversations when your echelon spy satellites gather all communications? Now, the Democrats seem to be the only ones championing our civil liberties, but they're careful never to dig too deep. The Republicans are stuck in the mold of being too patriotic to question the government on spying, as if somehow challenging the government on any military or or secret, military effort or secret is undermining our government. Nonsense. Well, let's talk a little bit about something that's dear to you and I, the issue of the Southern Poverty Law Conference impugning all right-wing people and survivalists as domestic terror threats. They keep putting out their annual hate and extremism report, which is once again being produced, and which survives, of course, on millions in support money from the Department of Justice and other federal agencies. I mean, literally, our government is supporting this annual attack on citizens trying to demonize the right-wing dissent. Although they claim to be unbiased, they take great pride in warning police nationwide about the growing domestic far-right terror threat. And this is all involved with protecting, they're basically saying now that Second Amendment people, are meant to be future revolutionaries. And there is talk, obviously. We are concerned about revolution in this country. We're concerned about, the tyranny that is developing and the government's propensity, once they take weapons away, to lock down people and start to put people in concentration camps as they did in Israel. And the Southern Poverty Law Conference maintains a list of active patriot groups of the U.S. as well as an interactive hate map. I've been on the list since 2010, and mild-mannered Stan Monteith's Radio Liberty finally made the list this year. It's about time, Stan, that you got on there.
Well, I'm proud that I'm associated with you, Joel, and with Alex Jones and Joyce Riley and the others who are on the front lines sounding the alarm, pointing the fact we're moving towards a dictatorship here in America.
Well, James Wesley Rawls, who doesn't claim to be any particular right-winger, was incensed that he got talked about on the list. He says, posted on his blog, do you count as an extremist patriot? Readers are warned that Southern Poverty Law Conference specializes in whitewashing almost anyone who is right of center. Actually, he meant defaming or demeaning anyone right of center. The Southern Poverty Law Conference, as I said, mentions a few token leftists who are radical. to appear to be balanced in their, you know, but it's the right that they're really after. They often attempt to make anyone who does not follow their collectivist agenda look like a neo-Nazi or KKK member. This is a form of great propaganda. Their key is guilt by association. Even some liberals took umbrage, you know, at the Southern Poverty Law report, like Matthias Holt, who's anything but a right-winger. There's been a great deal of consternation, he said, among conservatives, especially with regards to the SPLC, that Southern Poverty Law Conference, assertion that concern over gun rights is a mark of patriot groups, and the persistent terminology, a position, is that these groups are always far right. Well, Holt is concerned about gun rights but doesn't consider it far right. To be sure, the group's report is worded in a bizarre fashion, he writes, and includes several passages that should be easily denounced as partisan. In one particular sticks out, he said, even before, quote, even before the December 14th shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary, the Southern Poverty says gun and ammunition sales shot up in the wake of re-election of the country's first black president, implying racism, which is not the issue with the constitutional right. They also, the Southern Poverty also complains about, this is the result of shrill conspiracy theories about Obama's secret plans to confiscate American guns. Well, there's no secret anymore, Stan. I mean, very obviously he wants to confiscate guns. So does Dianne Feinstein and all her ilk. Southern Poverty says when the killings actually did spark gun control efforts that clearly had not been on the Obama's agenda, oh, really? And the reaction to the political right was so harsh it seemed to border on hysteria. Well, there you have the, I mean, that's clearly a partisan remark. These are not neutral people at all. Let's look at the Southern Poverty Law Conference's official definition of what is the patriot movement and a patriot. Of course, it applies only to a very specific group of people who think, who they think are militant conspiracy theorists with a survivalist streak. And that's, you know, not all that untrue, but it's not based upon, you know, the radical person out to, you know, the neo-Nazi movement, which is how they like to portray us. In their own words, Southern Poverty says, generally patriot groups define themselves as opposed to the New World Order, nothing wrong with that, engaged in groundless, they say, conspiracy theorizing, or advocate or adhere to extreme anti-government doctrines. Well, what's extreme anti-government doctrines? Let's suppose you have an anti-government that is tyrannical. Is that extreme to be anti-government?
Well, I think that we have to point out that our government has been taken over by a subversive element. And that are those are the people that we oppose. We don't oppose the United States, a legitimate constitutional government. It's simply it's been compromised by the subversive movement. And that is what we oppose.
That is correct. Well, the Southern Poverty Conference particularly points the finger at the Constitution Party as an example of extremism, which is an unfair characterization, unless you consider the Constitution extreme, which they do. The Tenth Amendment Center focuses entirely on issues of state sovereignty and oath keepers, which both encourages law enforcement to stand by their oath to the Constitution.
Hold the thoughts, Joe. Hold the thoughts. We'll be back in a moment here at
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Cintas, the uniform people in Greeley, is saluting the police, firefighters, paramedics, and 9/11 dispatchers who work in our community. We thank them for doing a great job trying to keep our area a better place to live, shop, and raise a family. We realize their job is dangerous and sometimes thankless. This message from Cintas, the uniform people in Greeley. They can be reached at 970-352-2233. On the air because they care. Named one of the most admired outsourcing companies in America. 970-352-2233. Cintas, the uniform people.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. And, of course, I think it's so important as to understand that we believe in America. We believe in the American government, but the subversive element that is taking control doesn't. They're dedicated to globalism. And, of course, the Southern Poverty Conference certainly is being paid by this subversive group to defame anyone who speaks out against what's going on. But there is a move to dictatorship in America, ladies and gentlemen. They have the FEMA camps across America, concentration camps. But don't take my word for it. Look it up on Google, fortunately, or you can actually find that this is all true. If you have access to the Internet, you'll find out that they have large numbers of coffins. Why would they have coffins for several million people stored here in America? And if that's true, why aren't we hearing about it through the mainline media? Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, I have to disagree slightly there. We have to be very, very careful about some of the claims that you can Google on the Internet, for example, and I've done a lot of research in this. There are FEMA facilities, but very few of these are actually in camps. Most of the camps listed as FEMA camps are bogus.
Yes, that's true.
But and also
there are some that are very legitimate.
Liners, Stan, they're not coffins. And these are things that are sold to actually put coffins into on a standard basis. And they aren't owned by FEMA itself. So we have to be careful of some of those things. Now, FEMA is mostly constructing not camps, but actual buildings and prisons to house people on former military bases and other facilities. And this is where the effort is going into. You're not going to see, to a certain extent, the camps would be used as a temporary basis, but they're busy building things that are in buildings that cannot be viewed from the outside as camps or prisons. And so this is a much more sophisticated thing we face. Still the same threat, I'm saying, and I'm agreeing with you. But I'm not pointing people to the Internet sites on camps because most of those are not valid.
Okay, go ahead.
And we also have to be aware of, the move to so-called survival communities. Now, I've been a survival expert for over 40 years. And one of the pioneers in the field. And there's a lot of new people getting into this right now, which are doing things unwisely. Glenn Beck, for example, is forming his Independence USA community, a kind of conservative development with a Disney motif. And other more ardent survivalists are preparing a development which is likely not to succeed, called the Citadel. From their website, they say the Citadel is a small planned community of 3,500 to 7,000 families of patriotic Americans who voluntarily choose to live together in accordance with Thomas Jefferson's ideal of rightful liberty. Well, there's a problem with these, even if they're done correctly, which may or may not be done. The Beck development is part of a grandiose empire Glenn sees himself building someday. It could possibly work, but it will take some big dollars to get a home site inside one of these expensive developments, assuming it even gets off the ground. I actually think more conventional developments with an energy-saving theme like Beck's are more viable than an outright survival community like the Citadel, a walled and armed city with a small arm factory inside. Frankly, from my experience, after consulting for 40 years in this field, dedicated survivalists are kind of a mixed lot, with zealots mixed in with patriots and everyone in between. The majority are very good people, but most are not well-heeled and can't afford what Beck is doing. Most are also very independent-minded, and from my experience, it's hard to get them to agree on anything, and that's what's happened. I've consulted with a lot of people in survival communities, and all of them have broken apart, all of them. Even the religious communities have had their infighting. But the big problem, Stan, that I want to point out to your listeners is notoriety. Anytime you build a walled community with an advertised political or ideological bent, you're going to get labeled and eventually targeted as those people over there. Locals in any area don't like the appearance of powerful, organized ideological groups moving in that can threaten the status quo. It happened to the Rajneesh in Oregon, which was an Indian Sikh type community. It happened to those in Santa Fe. It happened to the Mormons who moved into Illinois trying to build a utopian city, and they got driven out. Happened when they moved into Missouri. But Beck won't get a lot of resistance from local governments. He's building something nearly conventional and has a lot of his own millions to throw into it. But the Citadel has some people with questionable backgrounds behind it, no money, and a pipe dream on paper that is sure to leave a lot of people disappointed. Bill Moreland of the survival community warned in his Patriot group, this what he said: if you're a band of anti-government patriots pitching a plan to build a walled city in northern Idaho and manufacture handguns and assault rifles, you might expect raised eyebrows and a little criticism. Pot shots, indeed, he said, are flying at Three Arms Company, its sister and land development company, Citadel Land Development, the firm that is behind the proposed 2,000 to 3,000 acre Citadel complex. The criticism is sparked by the fact that one of the key players linked to the unlikely sounding venture is 3-time convicted felon Christian Carradine, a Maryland contractor who has apparently used various aliases, and his birth name is Christian Hyman. His wife or partner, Holly Carradine, has been involved in questionable charities, counseling, publishing, and other ventures that have failed, according to critics. And James Wesley Rawls also raised the warning. He was quite troubled to learn that the main promoter of Citadel 3 is a convicted felon. And even though the Citadel is within the area that Rawls calls his redoubt, he is not clearly not involved with the project, nor has he endorsed it. Rawls said, my only nexus to him, the developer Carradine, is that he chose a piece of land that is in one of the states that I recommend. He apparently has tried to capitalize on my name. Moreland continues saying, although the Citadel backers have boasted that they have already several hundred families planning to move up to the Dream City and have paid a deposit, there's no evidence, in fact, that that's the case. In any event, Crawford said, reports of the planned project have alerted, I won't say alarmed, people who live here. So, you know, if you're really smart, you don't name a community the Citadel. You don't build a walled city and give every indication that you're going to be a compound. Can you imagine the heyday that the media would have calling this a compound, survivalist compound, like the Branch Davidians, and attacking it someday? I wouldn't move into such a named city for the life of me. It's just unwise.
I agree with you. We're just about out of time, Joel. Parting thought?
Well, I just think that we have to be very careful. We don't have to panic. There is time to prepare. I believe that people ought to prepare individually and convert their neighbors around them to develop their own semi-informal network rather than join actual survivalist groups. I think that works out better for everyone.
I think you're absolutely right, but we're moving into very, very difficult indeed.
Or confederation, grant letters of mark or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survive, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783. Restore Health and Counseling encourages parents to add to your children's education with proper information about drug use, drug abuse, and addiction. Informed and understanding parental involvement does make a difference. Remember, if you're not talking to your kids about drugs and alcohol, who is? That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescent to adult and for private as well as professional drug and alcohol screening, treatment, and rehabilitation. Visit www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, and this is the last time we're going to be offering a case of my books, 64 books for $149.95. After that, of course, we're going to start printing next week, so if you want to get a case of books, this is the time to do it. And, of course, we'll throw in a 4-CD set or a DVD we've created to help you with the cost of shipping. But it's important. I think the book really can change people's lives. I know that some very, very key people have read the book, and it's influenced their ministries. So if you'd like to get a case of our books, today is the last day to call. 1-800-544-8927. I really am pleased with the response we've gotten. I appreciate the people who are going to get the book and help us distribute it, because I think the message is important. And what is the message? We're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. But there really are secret societies. They're real, they're organized, and they control the government, not only the United States, but governments throughout the world today. And they've infiltrated certainly every aspect of our society, our educational system, and certainly our religious system as well. They control the media. And until you understand that these people control the wealth of the world, their goal is a one-world satanic government under the control of the Antichrist, very little going on in the world today makes sense. But you're seeing played out on the political battlefield the prophetic message that has been around for thousands of years. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. And this will be the last time we'll be certainly offering our case of books at a markedly reduced price. So give us a call if you're interested, but you'll have to do it today because we're cutting the offer off. And as they say, we'll start printing next week. Then, of course, I need to remind you that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. If you're in a position to help us, we'd certainly appreciate it so we can keep our network of over 50 outlets certainly on the air, bringing people the truth. And it's great to know that people all throughout the world are listening by the Internet. You can listen on the Internet, iPad, iPhone, our afternoon programs. You can just listen to on the telephone if you have unlimited minutes. And, of course, we do have regular radio stations which carry our program. We broadcast on shortwave. We're trying to get people to understand the very, very powerful forces which control both political parties and make mockery of the entire process of voting. And they rig the elections, as they did for the last election. It's said that there are up to 50,000 irregularities in the last election, and yet they were not investigated at all. They brought forward the scandal of General Petraeus and his mistress as a distraction immediately after the last election. And, of course, people are incapable of thinking about two or three things at the same time, and they focus the entire controlled media on General Petraeus, the fact that they had been, here's the fellow who's the director of the CIA, and they're reading all of his emails. They're reading all of his faxes. They're taping all of his telephone conversations. And believe me, if they can do that with the director of the CIA, what do you think they can do with you? And what was his crime? He had a mistress. Well, I mean, I disapprove of that, but that's not a federal crime. But you must understand, it was all so they could have a distraction so no one would talk about the rigged election that put Barack Hussein Obama, who has a phony Social Security number, who uses a phony draft card, who doesn't even have a legitimate birth certificate. Who is Barack Hussein Obama? I go up on the internet and type in YouTube, Obama, I am a Muslim. My religious faith, my Muslim faith. Look at it on YouTube. Watch him say, talk about his Muslim faith. Till Monday, we'll be back with you again. Thank you, bye.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children.